Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and today is Wednesday, January 14th, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in Bill's story. We were on page 13. First paragraph starts with "At the hospital." We read two paragraphs today and end with, "I have not had a drink since." Today's readers are, we have reading the 12 steps, Mary C., the 12 traditions, Maura Z. Reader of the text is Christina L. Page 164 is Heidi B. Our backup today is Elizabeth D. Our newcomer greeter is Reva P. Our second hour host is Eileen M., and reading announcements this morning is Kathy S. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary C. to please come in and read the 12 steps. Come on in, Mary.
Thank you so much. My name is Mary C. I'm in Italy, a compulsive overeater, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Mary. I will now ask Maura Z to come on in and read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Maura, please.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. Maura Z, gratefully recovered in Virginia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Maura. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop on sharing what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we are resuming our study in the Big Book. We are in Bill's story. We are on page 13, the first paragraph, which starts with at the hospital. And we're reading through the second paragraph that ends with, I have not had a drink since. I will now ask Christina L. to start us off. Come on in, Christina.
At the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens. There, I humbly offered myself to God, as I then understood him, to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away, root and branch. I have not had a drink since. Good morning, everyone. This is Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And, what a great paragraph to share on or two. We know that this is the third time that Bill's going into the hospital. The first two times are referenced. We read them a couple of weeks ago on page 7. And, he's just had this visit with Ebby, and, he's been pondering all the reasons why he had all this calamity and with God and everything. And now he's realizing that, he can have this too. All he needed to know was that all he needed to do was to be willing to believe in a power greater than himself in order to have a spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening, and to separate himself from alcohol. And in the next paragraph also, he's taken his third step as we know it today. And he's admitting that without God, he was nothing. To me, that's the sixth step. And, for me, I've been just reflecting on where I've been at the last year, a lot of the similarities in this. I've had 3 significant relapses, and I just came back from one about a year and a half ago. And so that was, Bill was in the hospital for three times and everything. And You know, I had 3 significant relapses, but this last time was completely different. I had been turning my will and my life over to God even before I came into 12-step recovery. Maybe I wasn't doing it so very well, but, you know, my sincere desire to do God's will was there. And it wasn't until I came into this program that I was able to fully turn my life and my will over to Him, first by putting down the food. And last year when I came back from a relapse, I literally just, that word unreservedly really grabbed my attention this morning. And, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. I had no desire to come back, to be perfectly honest, but I knew that I had no other choice because I knew and I know that I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety and that I was killing myself with food. And it wasn't getting any better. I had gained half of my weight back that I had released. I was absolutely miserable. I was living in the bedevilments. You know, nothing was working that I had so-called tried. And I knew that this was the only thing that ever worked for me. And, you know, I have not had a bite since. And next week, God willing, you know, I'll celebrate a year of abstinence, being back in this program. You know, there's a lot going on in my life, but I'm able to live happy, joyous, and free despite of everything that's going on. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Christine, thank you so much for starting us off. I'm ready to take some names. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday of this week in either meeting, we ask that you hold off. Some names. Would like to start sharing with us this morning?
Jennifer C.
Shelley B. Thank you, Shelley.
Suzanne M.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Nicole S.
Did you hear Jennifer?
That's Nicole. Can you repeat? Did someone come in after Nicole and before Jennifer?
Jennifer C.
I have you first, Jennifer.
Thank you, honey.
I have Jennifer, Shelley, Suzanne, and Nicole. I have Jennifer C., Shelley B., Suzanne, and Nicole. Would anyone else like to be in this first lineup? I thought I heard another name. Okay, we'll start with this. Jennifer C., followed by Shelley B. Come on in, Jennifer.
Good morning. This is Jennifer C., recovered in South Carolina. Thank you so much for your service this morning. What an awesome paragraph, one of my favorite paragraphs in the book, and really highlights that step three, although we're told sometimes that step three is just a decision to do the rest of the work. You know, I don't just want recovery, I want big book recovery. And this paragraph, I mean, he didn't have a drink again. It wasn't just a, okay, I'm going to do the rest of the work and trust that it's going to work for me. This was a life-changing decision to offer his whole life and his whole self to God after looking at his pride and looking at his prejudice, not changing the rules about who God is, looking at his own pride and looking at his own prejudice. And it was then that he was really able to recognize, like, I cannot do anything without God. I can't just not stay sober. I can't do anything. I can't put the breath in my lungs. I need God for everything. And this word sin, you know, it comes across very religious and people have a hard time with it. It means that I've missed the mark. There's a bullseye. There's a bullseye, and you don't determine that bullseye, and neither do I, but God does, and that's what that word sin means. So can I agree that maybe all the things that I'm blaming God for are a result of sin? And can I let God off the hook? and allow God to show himself to me in a completely new way as my friend, capital F, always has my back, always looking out for me. And Bill had this experience. He had big book recovery, I like to call it, not just recovery, not just freedom from killing ourselves with addiction, but he was all in, holding nothing back. And that last line, "I have not had a drink since," what a beautiful testament to the fact that we never, ever have to go back to this disease. We never have to go. If we keep doing this work and we keep being led by God, little by little, day by day, we never, ever have to go back to addiction, which is just so encouraging to me when I read this paragraph. So thank you, God, for humbling us, for showing us our need for you, and give us the big book recovery that we're all here for. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Jennifer C. from South Carolina. We are on page 13, the first paragraph. Next up, we have Shelley B., followed by Suzanne M. Come on in, Shelley.
Good morning. This is Shelley B. in Iowa. Grateful to be here today. What a great reading, and what a great, just a great paragraph. And it really made me think back. I'm glad that the first speaker shared about the relapse. Food is hard. It's hard for me anyway. And I didn't get here and just get struck abstinent. It took work, and I had to fight my ego a little bit. You know, it wasn't until this last time in April that, you know, I was like, oh, I can do this, because there's always that lurking notion I could do this on my own. And then I tried and it failed. I did the little test questions that the big book talks about, and I failed. And that's when I conceded to my innermost self that I have this thing. I am a compulsive overeater. And that's, I knew I had to get into the steps and I had to work this, because what I discovered is I didn't have a relationship with a higher power. I had no idea how to turn some of this stuff over. I turned things over, but not all of it. And through working the steps, like it talks about, like what Bill just did in this paragraph, like I got free, and I'm so grateful for that. But I also know that I'm not going to stay free without the work. And so I continue to come back. I continue to work with others. I continue to do the steps. And, you know, last week into this week, I had a really difficult business transaction. And this is something that would have driven me back to the food. Thank God for the 12 steps, you know, the ability to do the 10th step, the ability to get honest with where I was feeling, and then to take the appropriate action, which in the world, they say, no, that's not what you need to do. But I knew if I had to stand before my creator, these are things I would have to do. And so I did it. And yes, there is a release. I'm so grateful for that. I'm just so grateful for this whole program and what it's given me today. Relationships are changing, and it's all for the better. I'm learning how to be a better friend, a better family member, a better coworker, all of those things. And, you know, when people talk about the easier, softer way, this is the easier, softer way. I don't have to try to control it anymore. This program taught me how to have a relationship with a higher power and how to be able to turn my will and my life over. And for that, I'm grateful. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you so much. That was Shelley B. from Iowa. We have Suzanne M., followed by Nicole. And after Nicole, I'm ready for another lineup. If you came in late, we are on page 13 in Bill's story, starting with At the Hospital, reading two paragraphs and ending with, "I have not had a drink since." Suzanne, would you like to come in and share with us, please?
Yes, thank you. Good morning. This is Suzanne M. from Warminster, Pennsylvania. So grateful for this meeting. Thank you, everyone who's in service today and every day. This meeting has changed my life, and the big book has changed my life even more. I have been in another program of recovery for 18 years, but was never exposed to the big book until I came to OA. And I am in all of this book every day. You know, the directions, it can be so simple if we let it be, right? So, you know, he's talked of coming up to this, the first step, he's talked about the unmanageability in his life. He can't hold his job. He's in and out of the hospitals. His marriage is on the rocks, right? And so what does that do? That makes him become ready to accept something else into his life, right? And he comes to believe, after he talks to Abby, that if this could work for Abby, maybe it could work for him as well. And here we are today, finally, on the third step, when he's made the decision to turn his will and his life over unreservedly. Awesome word, like nothing. Like that means Suzanne stops making decisions today. Suzanne prays and thinks and pauses before I do things. Suzanne lets God, my higher power, work the miracles in my life and help me to survive this disease and get through every day. This is the longest I've had of continuous abstinence, and it is so largely, it's completely because of sponsorship, steps, this meeting, and of course, God. And I want to tell you, a month ago from today, my email was hacked, my phone, they got into everything on my bank accounts, every account I have. And let me tell you, it's been a living nightmare. And I will tell you, the first week or two, you know, I was losing my shit. But I did not pick up food because that was not going to help anything. And by the grace of God, ironically, every night when I do my 10th step, you could hear by my 10th step how I was getting better and accepting what had happened and trying to deal with it. So, listen, that's all about God. That's not about me. And I'm just so blessed to be here with you all, and I love you all, and that's all I have.
Thank you so much. That was Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Nicole, and after Nicole, we'll be ready for a new lineup. We are on page 13, the first paragraph at the hospital, reading two paragraphs, which ends with, I have not had a drink since. And Nicole, would you come on in and share with us?
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Nicole S. from Colorado. And this is just so much hope in these paragraphs. And he was separated from alcohol for the last time. And he humbly offered himself to God and placed himself unreservedly under his care and protection. And, you know, I think that unreservedly is entire, not cautious or reticent, as the definition says. So, you know, when I finally just realized I could do nothing without God, that God, you know, letting God help me with my food addiction and my life was the only way that I could have recovery. And I had to, you know, unreservedly just completely not being cautious about it, just throw everything out, trusting that God was going to help me with that. And then I love how Bill said, you know, with him, realized that with him, that of himself, he was nothing. Without him, he was lost. And I think of all the times, everything I tried over and over and over, and I could not fix myself. And so with God, I'm everything. You know, I have his power, his strength. And I see in my life, I see a direct correlation. The more I try, the more I fail. And the more I let go and let God work through me and let God love others through his love, the more success I have, because it's not me. It's God working in and through me. And then, you know, I love how Bill, he ruthlessly faced his sins, and ruthlessly is, you know, having no pity, merciless. And I know I really have to be hard on myself. I've got to do a hard look at my life, what I'm doing, you know, how I'm acting, and not in a way to beat myself up, but just in a way to really, you know, reveal those things to God so that he again can work on me. And yeah, and God does, he takes them away root and branch, throws them as far in the ocean. What a gift. So thank you for letting me share. So grateful for this meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nicole S. from Colorado. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday of this week at either meeting, we ask you to please wait. And I am ready for another lineup.
Leah,
Colleen
M. Leah S.
I have Leah S. and I have Colleen M.
Bonnie B.
Good morning, Bonnie. Thank you. Leah, Colleen, and Bonnie. Did I miss anyone other, anybody else's name?
This is Janice, PM.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can I have one more to go into the second lineup?
Chris G.
Okie dokie, thank you so much. Okay, so our second lineup, you start with Leah S., Colleen M., Bonnie B., Janice PM., and Chris G. Leah, you want to come in and start to share with us, please?
Thank you so much. I wasn't sure if you heard me. Oh, my goodness. Let's see if I can get all this in 3 minutes. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered, and I'm so grateful for these meetings, especially for Vision. At the hospital means for me, I had to go to the extreme. I had to come to the conclusion, just like when you don't know what else you can do, you just go to the hospital. That's the way I had to be desperate for this program and separate myself from this trigger foods that always triggered me. The last time, hopefully, but it had to be real for me. Treatment seemed wise. Well, step two, I'm willing to be willing because I see and I'm facing everything that is about me. And then step three, I'm humbly offering myself. Now, I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm willing to do something that is going to bring me a little bit more peace and quiet in myself. And then number four, step four, I face my own self. What have I constantly been substituting food for? And then I became too willingly to trust people. And step five and step six and seven and step six and seven, dear God, try to help me so that I can be a better person. And I have not had a drink since then. Steps eight and nine actually led me into it. And then 10, 11, and 12 keep me in maintaining this and trying to each and every day, one day at a time. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Leah S. from New York. Next up, we have Colleen M. Come on in, Colleen.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Colleen M., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Maryland. And I just wanted to, this sentence where it says, I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. And that really hit me this morning. Step three was the hardest step for me, and I had to admit to myself frequently that without God I was lost. I had such a distorted opinion about God and who he was and wasn't, he, she, it, that I needed to do a lot of work on and the steps around. It took a lot of time for that, those old ideas to be challenged and changed. And And I did finally get to a place where I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. My God, in my disease was not a God that I could trust. And I certainly couldn't turn my will and life over to this God. But now that I have gotten some clarity, the food was down, and I have been doing this work, this God has opened up in my life, and it is a loving, caring, compassionate God that I do trust with every part of my life. And it's made all the difference in the world in my recovery and you know, my ability to move forward in the program. So I'm so grateful that I feel like I am becoming more and more humble as I turn myself and my pride and arrogance over. So I'm so grateful that I stuck around. I worked the steps, and you know, I came to believe. And yeah, if it can happen for me, it can happen for you. So thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Colleen M. from Maryland. Next up, we have Bonnie B. And then we will have time for more shares after Chris G. Bonnie, come on in and share with us, please.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for your moderating. Good morning, everyone. The shares have been stunning, breathtaking. What a beautiful paragraph. You know, when I read this paragraph, I immediately think of step three and how I do this on a daily basis, because on a daily basis, my sin nature rears its ugly head. It just is what it is. I have a game plan in my head the moment I open my eyes, and if I don't direct my entire day to God, I will be trying to run the show. It says, I placed myself. For me, I use that word placed, which is past tense, and I say, I placed myself. On a daily basis, I place myself under my God's care. My friend, the deepest companion that I have. I can't see what I can't see. I don't know what I don't know. And I, too, have had a history of going back into the food. You know, as much as I sort of wish I could say I haven't, so that I've had the Blue Ribbon Prize, don't have a Blue Ribbon Prize. I got a whole bunch of participation award ribbons. And by the grace of God, I'm living recovered today. And that's not just in my body, it's in my head. How do I know if I'm separated from God? Because I'm restless, irritable, discontent. And for me, I've lost my peace. That peace that passes understanding. That's where I know I have to run back in. That's when I know sin has entered back in. And I have tried once again to run the show. My favorite book has a passage that says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. This is the difference between recovery and not recovery for me. The God that loves me and has loved me forever knows very well what's inside of me. He has never called me to carry anything. He has called me to care. It's the same word, a different tense. When he lays something upon my heart, that word care drops me to my knees, and I offer it to him in what I now say is the third step prayer. God, I give this to you. But the moment I become restless, irritable, discontent, or tight on the inside, I lose my peace. It means that I've picked something up that doesn't belong to me, and I'm dragging it around once again. And that angst to me always led back to food. These steps given to me by my God have saved my life as far as like my emotional sobriety. Had nothing to do with my salvation, but in my emotional sobriety. And I am so grateful for the steps and for this program and for the gift of so many of you who have loved me over and over and over as I have come to understand what this looks like. So with that, I'll pass, and thanks, everyone. Blessings to you all.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. Next up, we have Janice P.M., followed by Chris. And after Chris, I'm able to take more names, and if you've come in late, we are on page 13, the first paragraph. That starts with, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. And we go through the next paragraph and ends with, I have not had a drink
sense. That's on page 13 in Bill's story. Janice, will you come in and share with us?
Certainly will. Thank you very much. And my name is Janice P.M. I live in Massachusetts, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, this is Bill's story. Now, I'm going to, you know, I identify so much with him, and I think the lesson, the wisdom that I'm getting from this paragraph and the two previous paragraphs is, you see, he finally, first of all, when Ebby came to him, you know, he was surprised. We know all about how he saw him different. So he couldn't understand it, but he definitely it got to the point where he admitted that he was powerless. And then he said, yeah, you know, I better start believing in something because I'm desperate. I can't do this. Now we look at the end of this paragraph, and it says he hasn't had a drink since. Well, if we notice, this did not happen after step two. You know, he had to go through making a decision. See, he landed in the hospital again three times, and Ebby came to see him. Now, this is the miracle that's happening, so that he hasn't had a drink since, and this is what happened to me. I had to make a decision to do what? To do action, to do this program. And this is where the program, this is what the program is, this paragraph two. I make a decision to do these following actions. That's step three through step nine in this paragraph. And that's when he never had a drink since. Okay, so there he humbly, because he gave up. It's the absence of his pride. So he's with Ebby now in the hospital, and Ebby's taken him through these steps. Now, of course, there wasn't any AA at that time. They were in the Oxford group. So it's changed. They had about six tenets, and that's on page 263 if you want to look at them. And then Bill wrote these 12 steps. But in this paragraph, it's steps 3 to 9. He humbly, yeah, we have to get humble. We have to admit that we can't do this ourselves. We have to get rid of our pride, not our grandiosity. So he humbly offered himself to God, and that's step 3. Okay? And then, you know, and, of course, to do what he would have him do. Then he put him unreservedly under this care and direction. Okay, that's still step 2. And then he admitted for the first time that of himself he was nothing. So 1 and 2. Then he ruthlessly faced his sins. Step 4. And became willing to have his new found friend, the capital letters. What steps are those? That's step 6 and 7. Became willing to have his newfound friend take them away. Rutenbridge. And then, because of 3 and 9, going more, 6 and 7, 3 and 9. Okay, I'm going to, I guess I'll have to stop there and pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's Janice P.M. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Chris G., and after Chris, we are open for a new lineup. Please share with us, Chris.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Chris G., and I live in Tennessee. I am a compulsive overeater. So, I have not had a drink since. I have not had a drink since. Let me say it one more time. I have not had a drink since. This is powerful stuff. I have not had a drink since. Since what? Since what? Since I worked the steps, since I did step 3, since I did step 4, since I did step 6, 7, and 8, and step 9. But we all know about step 9. But what about the other ones? Yeah, what about the making a decision? Making a decision. I have not had a drink since. So those two are connected to each other. The result that I want is that I've not had a drink since. That is what I desire. But what do I do? You know, what's the action that I take? And so this paragraph has it all in it. So let's read it one more time. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Chris G. from Tennessee. I am now ready to take some more names. We can take at least four more names before the meeting ends this morning. If you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute your phone.
Jane F. from New Hampshire.
I'm sorry, I didn't get any of that.
Devo Rabi.
Jane F. Shelly,
okay, I have Devorah B.
Page,
I have some,
I'm sorry.
Hold on one second. I have Devorah B. I have somebody from New Hampshire and Joanne. Who's from New Hampshire?
Jane F.
Thank you, Jane. So we have Devorah, Jane, Joanne. We are on page 13, the top of 13, the first paragraph. We're reading two paragraphs. Can I have one more person to share with us this morning?
Maura Z.
Good morning, and thank you so much. Okay, we should be set for that. Let's go. We're going to start with Devorah B., followed by Jane, then Joanne, and then Maura. Come on in, Devorah. Devorah, please press star 1 and please share with us.
Hi, good morning. I thought I was unmuted. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we hear you well.
Hi, it's Devorah B. from New Jersey. I don't usually share, but when I was hearing people say share about unreservedly, I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I was thinking about how I've been doing spiritually, and what I have been doing is throughout the day, I set my cell phone to ring more often in the afternoon when my kids are home and there's more emotions in my house and there's more tension and more going on. And when it rings, I pause, I close my eyes, I feel God's love, and I think, what am I not giving over? What do I have to do at step 10? Is there something I need to give over to God? And I do. And usually it has to do with somebody else, you know, my spouse, a child. Usually that's who it is, you know, a relative. You know, they said something, they didn't say something, and then I ask God to remove that, you know, defect of character, which is at the root of the resentment, and I ask him how he would have me be, and how I can help someone else moving forward. And I just realized just now during this meeting, during the beautiful shares, that there is a tremendous fear that I've been keeping to myself, even during these pausing moments. And I think the reason I've been keeping it to myself is because it doesn't really have to do with any one person. It's just a fear that I have that exists, not connected to people. And, you know, I'm committing today that during my pause moments to give that fear over to God, because it's constant, and, you know, it's not going away, and I don't see, you know, anything there is to do about it, to help it. And to me, that's what unreservedly means, to really search through and see, what am I holding to myself, almost like possessively, like, oh, let me keep this fear, hold it on tight. I don't have to do that anymore, because ultimately, that's a disease, and it will lead me right back into the food where I've been many times. So I'm excited to have discovered that and to give it over to his care and direction. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. That was Devorah B. from New Jersey. Next up, we have Jane S. from New Hampshire. Come on in, Jane.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for allowing me to share. My name is Jane S., and I'm from New Hampshire, currently snowboarding in Florida for the winter. Yay. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater, which is just an amazing thing to say. And I think that now that I say that I am recovered, I think that's the difference in the last almost 17 years that I've been in this 12-step fellowship and in and out of this fellowship. The other fellowship, I was able to surrender more, I think, to God and put down that addiction. But this food addiction has had me by the throat for many, many years. And for the last, 18 and a half months now, I think that I have been unreservedly turning my will and my life over to God way more than I ever have in my life. And I live in surrender on a daily basis. It's not a one and done. It's not something I do, once a day even. I have to continue to do it. Continue, right? And so yesterday, I was in the hospital, and I have unreservedly turned my will and my life for the last 6 months over to God and continue to do the right thing as best I could and listen to the suggestions of professionals. And yesterday, I was able to go with God, walked me into the hospital, and I got a brand new hip, and I have a new lease on life. And I got to tell you, as I was sitting there waiting to go into the operating room, I had a peace and calm and a serenity in my heart that I have never had before. The nurse was taking my vitals, and she said, "Wow," she says, "you're so calm and peaceful." Like, I thought to myself, that's because I have God today. And God lives in me, through me, and in all my friends and all the sisters and brothers in this fellowship and the other fellowships that I belong to, the support that God has given me and all my fellows, God with skin on. Oh my gosh, it just is such a different way to live, And so once again this morning, as soon as I woke up, it was like, thank you, God, for another day, another new beginning. And I surrendered my will, my life, and my whole family, especially my babies, up to Him to take care of and just help us walk through the day and find that courage in my heart to just walk through whatever I have to walk through today. And I am walking through pain, but you know what? I know there's an end to all this, and there is a means to the end, and God is walking me through right now. And all of you are with me, and so it's kind of appropriate that this be our chat, our paragraph today. This is a newfound friend. My newfound friend has taken a lot of my fears and the obsession with food and obsessive thinking and worrying about the future and resistance and all that negative stuff that I used to live in. It's not there anymore. It rears its ugly head every once in a while and manifests in different ways, but I know that when I let go with both hands and truly give my life and my will in all areas of my life to God today, that I will have a much better day. And so for that, I am grateful, and it's just an amazing way to live. I surrender to God that I am a compulsive overeater, and I accept that fact today. I'm an addict to the core. And so here I am, and thank you, family. I love you all, and it was great to hear all the shares prior to me, the wonderful, wonderful medicine. Thank you so much. I love you all. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Jane S. from New Hampshire. Next up, we have Joanne, and then we're going to end with Maura Z. Joanne, please come share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. Oh, my goodness, a grateful compulsive overeater, recovered one day at a time by the grace of God and this program. These paragraphs really, I just had to share today, because they remind me so much of my husband, who passed away a year ago today with 36 years of sobriety in AA. And yeah, he used to say all the time, "It's not me, it's God who took the desire away from me." It took me, it wasn't until 5 years ago that I learned about OA and realized that I was an addict too, only to food. And wow, how how this program has changed my life, and especially this step three. When I took step three, I realized that I was powerless, and I knew that I had work to do, and I did the work, and I continue to do the work on a daily basis, one day at a time. I love our nightly reviews and our 10 steps and our fellowship, but I especially love the prayer and meditation. And this past year, I've spent more time in prayer and meditation just because I'm living alone now. And I have more time to abandon myself to my higher power, to surrender and accept life on life's terms, to appreciate and enjoy the fellowship and the understanding that I get and what I learn from all of you, from my sponsor, who just is indescribably wonderful. And yeah, I just have a heart full of gratitude and love because of these steps, because of our program, because of our fellowship, but especially by the grace of God. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share, and thank you all for all your shares. I just love this meeting. Learned so much from all of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Maura Z. Come on in, Maura.
Thank you, Kathy. This is Maura Z. I'm gratefully recovered in Virginia. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. And that is exactly where I am. I am nothing without him. I have trials and tribulations. I have things that happen that I don't know how to proceed. So something my sponsor said the other day, pause, pray, and proceed. And that's what I'm learning to do. And the pausing is me stopping myself from awfulizing, from running amok, from spinning out of control. And spinning out of control almost always means that I am taking whatever situation I have at hand and spinning it to the worst possible outcomes. When I stop that and I pray and I ask for peace and I ask for guidance and I ask for the next right step, it doesn't always come, but it slows me down and it makes me remember I'm not in charge. I'm never going to be in charge. I don't know how to make some of these decisions. So I ask for guidance, and I ask for friends in the fellowship to help me during 10 steps, and I can then see a way forward. But of myself, I am nothing. Without him, I am lost. With him, I am finally found. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Maura Z from Virginia. And I realized I never gave the reference numbers for the IDs. So I'm going to give you that now. I'm sorry I missed that. I want to thank everyone who shared this morning. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study following the closing. The ID for today, January 14th, the 7 a.m. meeting, was 23,124. That's 23124. The share IDs for Tuesday, January 13th, for the 7 a.m. meeting is 23,121. That's 23121. And for the 10 a.m. meeting, it was 23,122. That is 23122. I apologize for not doing that earlier. We're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. And this morning, Heidi B., will you come in and read 164 for us, please?
Yes, thank you. Heidi B. from New York.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.